Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is side two of For the Record program number 382, titled The Untouchables. This is being recorded on October 13th of 2002. Before I proceed into the second half of the program, let me remind you that within a week of the airing of this program, there will be a detailed, annotated, article-length description of the program featuring long text excerpts for people that want to pursue the information further. That will be in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website, which also has links to two websites maintained by sister station WFMU-FM that are archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio. More about that later in the program. Now, the title of the broadcast is a wry reference to, in the first place, obviously, the Untouchables, the nickname for the U.S. Treasury Department's investigator Elliot Ness of television fame. He was the guy that ultimately busted Al Capone on tax evasion and fraud charges. It also is a wry reference to the Islamic charities and the Al-Qaeda-linked network, which is not only connected to George W. Bush through the petroleum industry, but which also has very strong links to the Republican Ethnic Outreach Organization through, among other people, Grover Norquist and his Islamic Institute. And we've talked about that in For the Record 356 and For the Record 357. And as one examines the links to Al-Qaeda, as one examines the links of this milieu to the Muslim Brotherhood, an Islamo-fascist organization that is very, very significant and that was allied with the Third Reich, both in its above-ground and underground phases, bear in mind that the profound political connections of this milieu and the fact that they have been utilizing an international money go-round, so to speak, that came to prominence, for example, in connection with the Enron case. So far, these elements have proved untouchable. Now, into the substance of the broadcast, we were reading from an article from the Wall Street Journal of October 10th of 2002 by Glenn R. Simpson, who's been doing some very, very good work for the Wall Street Journal about the Operation Green Quest and the attempts at interdicting the Al-Qaeda funding. By the way, as we have seen and as a UN report had reported in late August, Al-Qaeda is alive and well and has plenty of money, hence the wry reference to the Untouchables. Wall Street Journal 10-10-2002, U.S. tries Al Capone tax charges in some terror financing cases. It's by Glenn R. Simpson. The strategy is likely to have fallout for the U.S. government's relationship with one of its closest Mideast allies, Saudi Arabia. Wealthy Saudi citizens are among the biggest backers of the U.S.-based charities the Justice Department is investigating. Wealthy Saudi citizens are among the biggest backers of the U.S.-based Islamic charities the Justice Department is investigating. In yesterday's Chicago indictment, prosecutors explicitly identified a wealthy Saudi, Adel Bateri, as a member of the Benevolence International Foundation's alleged criminal enterprise, unquote. He couldn't be located for comment. As we're going to see later on in this broadcast, Adel Bateri is also linked to the World Assembly of Muslim Youth, which is an alleged Al-Qaeda front. That, in turn, is linked to the milieu of Youssef Nada, and we're going to access some information from the book Forbidden Truth later on in the program. Now, referring to the targets of the March 20th raid, Operation Green Quest raid, and again noting the links of this milieu to the Republican Party and to the economic enterprises of the Bush family, we will proceed with the discussion. Turning again to the Wall Street Journal article of 10-10-2002, in the Virginia case, investigators believe most of the funds involved come from the Al-Raji banking family of Saudi Arabia, another wealthy and prominent business clan. Bank and corporate records, some obtained by a Washington nonprofit group called the National Security News Service, show that the Virginia charities were an integral part of a large business empire, much of it devoted to profit-making activities including poultry farming and real estate speculation. One of the Virginia charities under investigation, the Success Foundation, also received funds from a company in the Netherlands Antilles called Pathfinder Investments NV, controlled by the Bin Mahfouz family of Saudi Arabia. Parenthetically, the Bin Mahfouzes are inextricably linked not only with the BCCI, but also through, among others, James R. Bath, to some of the petroleum business undertakings of George W. Bush. Continuing. The family, that's the Bin Mahfouz family, said in a statement that it intended its $100,000 donation, quote, would be used solely for appropriate charitable purposes, such as food and health services. The Muslim activists who run many of the charities in the Virginia investigation told the IRS in a 1998 tax filing that some $9 million flowed from one of their charities, the SAR Foundation, to another charity called the Humana Charitable Trust in the Isle of Man. But Isle of Man officials said no such charity is registered. The tiny semi-independent country in the Irish Sea is known to law enforcement authorities as a haven for tax evasion and money laundering. U.S. officials believe some money from the Virginia groups passed instead through a private, unregistered trust on the Isle of Man known as Happy Hearts, then moved to other countries. Some funds linked to the Virginia activists allegedly went to a group called Human Appeal International. Bosnian intelligence officials have alleged that Human Appeal served as a front for terrorists in that country. The FBI alleges that Human Appeal is associated with Hamas, the Islamic terror group operating in the West Bank, and Gaza. Skipping down, and here we're going to talk about, among other things, apparent links between Benevolence International and the Chicago case, and the March 20th targeted institutions, which again link not only to George W. Bush, but to the Republican Party per se. In the Chicago case, prosecutors say Benevolence Director Arnout was a top aide to Mr. Bin Laden, who obtained weapons for Al-Qaeda. The group also was alleged to have provided travel documents for an Al-Qaeda founder, Mamdou Mahmoud Salim. But some of the allegations are that he defrauded his donors by falsely claiming the funds would be used for humanitarian purposes and committed tax fraud by lying to the IRS about BIF's finances. Lawyers representing BIF and Mr. Arnout denied the allegations that the charity ever supported Mr. Bin Laden or other terrorist groups and called their client, quote, a pawn in the war on terrorism, unquote. The Chicago and Virginia cases may be related. According to terrorism researcher Rita Katz, a Muslim activist who was listed in the corporate records as one of the people who helped set up Benevolence, Hassan Bahafadallah is also listed as an official of at least two of the Virginia groups. So note again the apparent links between Benevolence International and the Chicago investigation and the Virginia groups, and I would note that Talat Atman, not only a director of Harkin Energy, a protege of Abdullah Baksh, the representative in the United States of the Bin Laden family for many, many years, Abdullah Baksh is also a protege of Gayit Faron, one of the principal BCCI operatives, and note Talat Atman was part of the audit committee of Harkin Energy that approved the very questionable Aloha Petroleum deal, and as we saw in For the Record 356 and 357, Talat Atman interceded with Treasury Secretary O'Neill on April 4th of this year on behalf of the targets of the March 20th Operation Green Quest raids. Those raids, in turn, were executed as a result of documentation obtained by the heroic John Loftus, former Justice Department investigator who has doggedly researched the post-war Nazi connections and the post-war Nazi emigre who made their way into the United States. And it was John Loftus's lawsuit that helped to precipitate the March 20th raids. And if some of these fraud investigations go forward, he may have very well helped to interdict a powerful element not only of the Al-Qaeda funding nexus, but also of Islamofascism and the Underground Reich. We're going to look next at a very important article dealing with not only the targets of the March 20th raids, which also overlap Benevolence International, but in particular, we're going to look at the SAR Foundation, which was alluded to in that particular article that we just read. The SAR Foundation is actually named for the initials of Mr. Al-Raji, and as we're going to see, the aforementioned prominent Saudi financier Al-Raji and his SAR Foundation are inextricably linked with the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, we've talked about the Muslim Brotherhood in numerous broadcasts, and in particular, take a look at, for the record, 343. You can either listen to it on the WFMU streaming audio file and or read about the Muslim Brotherhood in the For the Record description for 343, now available as a separate file on the www.spitfirelist.com website. What we're going to look at in this very important Washington Post article I'm about to read are the direct links between Operation Green Quest's targets, which in turn are heavily overlapped not only with the milieu of George W. Bush, but specifically the official Republican Party ethnic outreach organization, and the Muslim Brotherhood, founded in 1928, allied with the Third Reich, and in many ways the wellspring for many of the Islamic fundamentalist terrorist organizations that have sprung up not only in the Sunni Muslim world, but in the Shiite world as well. The following article appeared in the Washington Post on Monday, October 7th of 2002. This article is by Douglas Farah and John Mintz. It's headlined, U.S. Trails Virginia Muslim Money and Ties. 6 months after they raided the Northern Virginia headquarters of some of the nation's most respected Muslim leaders, federal agents say they are pursuing a trail of intriguing clues in a top-priority search for evidence of tax evasion and financial ties to terrorists. Federal and European investigators say that several lines of inquiry have emerged from their review of documents and computer files they carted off in a dozen panel trucks from offices and homes affiliated with the Herndon-based SAR Foundation, a tightly knit cluster of prominent Muslim groups funded by wealthy Saudis. Note again the SAR Foundation, that is named for Mr. Al-Raji, who was associated with the Muslim Brotherhood. More about this later. One avenue of investigation is the alleged transfer of millions of dollars from the SAR network to two overseas bankers who have been designated by the U.S. government as terrorist financiers. By the way, that is the milieu of Youssef Nada and Al-Taqwa, which in turn goes right back to the Third Reich. Continuing, another is the network official's history of ties to the militant Muslim Brotherhood. A third part of the investigation concerns a key mystery, whether an astonishing $1.8 billion in gifts passed to the SAR Foundation in a single year, 1998. By the way, SAR was $9 million in the red when it went up about 2 years later. Continuing, SAR leaders reported SAR leaders reported that sum on a tax form, but later said it was a clerical error. Agents are struggling to sort through and translate rooms full of documents, many in Arabic, and are chasing leads in 17 different countries. U.S. officials call the investigation one of the highest priorities of Operation Green Quest, the U.S. Customs Service task force formed after the September 11th attacks to wage a financial war on terror. The probe is part of a global crackdown the U.S. government has launched to stem the funding of terror groups since September 11th, 2001. That crackdown has targeted a number of large Muslim charities here and abroad. Skipping down. The SAR network consists of more than 100 Muslim think tanks, charities, and companies, many of which are linked by overlapping boards of directors, shared offices, and the circular movement of money according to tax forms and federal investigators. The network, named for Suleiman Abdul Aziz Raji, the patriarch of the Saudi family that funded it, gives to charities, invests in companies, and sponsors research, all with the goal of fostering the growth of Islam. The SAR Foundation officially dissolved in December of 2000, and many of its functions were taken over by another group, SAFA Trust, run by many of the same people. Government officials say the investigation of the SAR groups, which began with a probe of anti-Israel activities in Florida in 1996 and intensified after the September 11th attacks, has not traced money from the SAR entities to the Al-Qaeda terrorist network. But U.S. and European investigators say they have uncovered information in the Bahamas and Europe that in recent years some SAR entities' funds have moved to two men, Youssef Nada and Ahmed Idris Nasreddin, designated by the United States as terrorist financiers. The funds moved through two offshore banks in the Bahamas that the pair controlled, officials said. The institutions, Bank Al-Taqwa and Aqida Bank Private Limited, have been designated as conduits for terrorist funds by the U.S. Treasury Department. In recent months, they were shut down by Bahamian authorities under U.S. pressure. In an August report, Treasury said that the banks have been involved in financing radical groups, including Hamas and Al-Qaeda, both before and after the September 11th attacks. Bank Al-Taqwa and Aqida Bank were described by the Treasury Department on August 29th as, quote, shell companies, unquote, that were, quote, not functional banking institutions, unquote. Nada and Nasreddin said they have done nothing wrong and pointed out that thousands of businesses use offshore havens like the Bahamas. In March, Nada told Nasreddin that he is a legitimate businessman and has never funded terror. Nasreddin could not be reached for comment, but his Geneva-based lawyer, P.F. Barki, said in May that his client has no links to terror and abhors violence. I would note Barki is the Swiss attorney for the business dealings of Silvio Berlusconi, Italian Prime Minister, and a former member of the P2. Continuing. U.S. officials say they believe that the SAR network moved a total of about $20 million to offshore accounts, much of it through Bank Al-Taqwa and Aqida Bank to Nada and Nasreddin firms. But because of the complex nature of the wire transfers, which sent money through myriad accounts, officials say they have had difficulty tracking SAR entities' money around the world. In 1998, for example, SAR moved $9 million to the Humana Charitable Trust, which a SAR tax form said was based in the tax haven of the Isle of Man. U.S. investigators said they found no evidence the trust existed. Panama, another tax haven, was also the destination of millions of dollars. Looking at their finances, one U.S. official involved in the probe said, is like looking into a black hole, unquote. Much about the SAR entities remains in dispute, including the reported $1.8 billion in gifts in 1998. For years, the foundation operated on annual budgets of about $1.5 million. Then it reported on its 200 tax form that it had taken in $1.8 billion in contributions 2 years earlier, skipping down. U.S. officials say that they believe the reference to a $1.8 billion loan was no mistake. We're still looking at it as a real transaction, a U.S. official said, but investigators acknowledge that they haven't found evidence that sums of that size coursed through the network. Another focus of the probe is the SAR leader's links to the Muslim Brotherhood, a 74-year-old group which is under investigation by European and Middle Eastern governments for its alleged support of radical Islamic and terrorist groups. For decades, the Brotherhood has been a wellspring of radical Islamic activity. Hamas, the militant Palestinian group, is an offshoot of it. European officials are particularly interested in the Brotherhood's ties to leading neo-Nazis, including the Swiss Holocaust denier Ahmed Huber of Al-Taqwa. A number of central figures in the SAR network, including Raji, were for decades involved in the Brotherhood, where they befriended Nada, said representatives and friends of the SAR officials. The one-time radicalism of SAR network members has mellowed since they moved to the United States, SAR associates said. Nada, a native of Egypt, has been one of the Brotherhood's leading figures for years, and European officials say his network of banks and companies, including Bank Al-Taqwa and Aqida Bank, are intimately tied to the Brotherhood. European officials say the two banks handled tens of millions of dollars for the Brotherhood over the years. A wealthy construction magnate, Nada controls firms across Europe and the Arab world. Nasreddin, of Ethiopian descent, operates a business empire intertwined with Nada's out of Milan. Founded in Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood has, over the decades, helped stir a revival in Islamic pride and militant opposition to secular Arab regimes. Skipping down. Investigators said they have also uncovered numerous ties between SAR entities and Bank al-Taqwa. Samir Salah, a founder of the Safa Trust, SAR's successor, and an officer of other SAR companies, helped establish Bank al-Taqwa in the Bahamas in the mid-1980s, according to a Treasury document. In a letter to the Washington Post, Salah said he had no role with the bank. Ibrahim Hasabala, another officer of some SAR-related companies, also helped set up Bank al-Taqwa in the Bahamas, according to the document. Hasabala did not respond to numerous requests for comment. Terrorism specialists say the significance of the SAR network is that it could offer wealthy Persian Gulf financiers a circuitous route for money that they didn't want traced. A rich Saudi who wants to fund radical ideas or terrorists like Hamas and Al-Qaeda knows he can't send the money directly, so he filters it through companies and charities, often in the U.S., or Europe, said Rita Katz, a terrorism expert at the private SITE Institute in Washington. The SAR organizations are run by approximately 15 Middle Eastern and Pakistani men, a number of whom live in two-story homes on adjoining lots in Herndon that were developed by one of their affiliated firms in 1987. SAR representatives say most were born into devout Muslim families, and some fell under the sway of the Muslim Brotherhood. In the 1960s and 1970s, funded largely by Persian Gulf and particularly Saudi money, the men who would later form the SAR network fled their homelands amid crackdowns on the Brotherhood. In Saudi Arabia and the United States, they helped launch groups that would evolve into some of the nation's and the world's leading Islamic organizations, including the Muslim Students Association, the World Assembly of Muslim Youth, and the Islamic Society of North America. In 1984, Yaqub Mirza, a Pakistani native who received a Ph.D. in physics from the University of Texas in Dallas, used money from the al-Rajis to start SAR in Virginia, with the goal of spreading Islam and doing charitable work. Mirza also sought out business ventures for SAR by investing the Raji's money with Washington real estate developer Mohammed Hadid. He made SAR one of the region's biggest landlords in the 1980s. The SAR network also became one of South America's biggest apple growers and the owner of one of America's top poultry firms, Marzak Poultry in Georgia. The funds came very easily, said a businessman who dealt with SAR. If they wanted a few million dollars, they called the al-Rajis, who would send it along, skipping down. Despite their moderate public face, the SAR group's leaders have had close dealings with people who were more radical. Among them were Muslim activists who ran two vehemently anti-Israel organizations affiliated with the University of South Florida in Tampa. Despite the Florida activists' denials, federal officials have been investigating them for years based on suspicions that they have organized support for Palestinian Islamic Jihad, which the U.S. government has declared a terrorist group because it organizes suicide bombings in Israel. Skipping down. Customs revived the probe after the September 11th attacks with help from Europeans probing Bank al-Taqwa's Italian and Swiss operations. "We're looking for patterns and connections, so it's very complicated," said a U.S. official. "The al-Taqwa SAR nexus is a very high priority." And by the way, I will be including in the description for this program some text that supplements the material that we've spoken about, that text taken from the book Forbidden Truth that we've used in the past. We don't have time for including that in this program. Now, perhaps because of the, quote, untouchable, unquote, nature of these organizations and their links to George Bush, the formation of an independent commission looking into September 11th is being frustrated. San Jose Mercury News of Saturday, October 12th of 2002 has an L.A. Times story by Richard Simon and Greg Miller headlined, September 11th fact-finding hits snag. Lawmakers pushing for an independent commission to investigate government failures surrounding last year's terrorist attacks blamed the White House on Friday for scuttling an apparent agreement this week. Senators Joseph Lieberman, Democrat of Connecticut, and John McCain, Republican of Arizona, sponsors of the legislation, said administration officials are maneuvering at the last minute to limit the panel's scope, even while claiming publicly to support a broad, unfettered investigation. Some went further, saying the White House might be seeking to quietly scuttle the commission altogether. House Minority Whip Nancy Pelosi, Democrat of San Francisco, said the administration is trying to, quote, privately move to thwart it behind the scenes, unquote. Skipping down. Relatives of victims of the attacks lambasted the White House early in the day, accusing the administration of undermining the deal. Skipping down again. Creating an independent commission patterned after those that investigated the 1941 Pearl Harbor attack and President Kennedy's assassination in 1963 appeared to be a sure thing after the White House recently dropped its opposition to the idea. The Senate last month overwhelmingly voted to create the panel and give it broad authority to investigate a range of issues from immigration policies to aviation security. The House earlier approved a commission that would be more limited in scope. House and Senate negotiators had announced a resolution of their differences Thursday afternoon, but the accord fell apart by the end of the day when Representative Porter Goss, representative of Florida, chair of the House Intelligence Committee, raised last-minute objections. I would add parenthetically, Porter Goss is also an ex-CIA officer. Lieberman and McCain on Friday laid blame for the unraveling on the White House. Goss is seen by many on Capitol Hill as the White House's surrogate in the negotiations on the commission. Goss said Thursday that he was not satisfied that the panel would have authority to investigate all branches of government, including Congress. But Senate aides involved in the talks said Goss had not raised that issue previously and that he left the bargaining table Thursday citing objections, quote, above my pay grade, unquote, interpreted by some as a reference to the White House, skipping down again. Additionally, the administration wants to prevent the commission from being able to look into the government's actions immediately after the terrorist attacks, according to a congressional staffer. One of the things that I think needs to be looked into is why members of the Bin Laden family, some dozen or so, were flown out of the United States on September 12th when no one else could fly. Bear in mind that some of those members of the Bin Laden family were in Washington, D.C. on September 11th at the annual investors conference of the Bush-linked Carlyle Group, and they watched while the World Trade Center towers collapsed. Those Bin Ladens, apparently, among the untouchables in this case. Within a week or so of the airing of this program, there will be a detailed, article-length, and supplemented discussion, or a written description of For the Record program number 382, featuring supplemental text from the book Forbidden Truth, which reinforces the information presented here, but that I have not had time to read into this broadcast. That will be on the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. Note that Spitfire also carries the archive shows and the lectures that I've recorded over the years. And Spitfire's website is equipped with real audio. The two most recent half-hour segments will be available for a week or so on the Spitfire website, and there are links on the Spitfire website to two websites maintained by sister station WFMU-FM. www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery has more recent For the Record programs streaming, and there is a longer URL that has the older For the Record programs available for download only. That's linked to both the WFMU.org Dave Emery website and to the Spitfire website. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 382, The Untouchables, being recorded on October 13th of 2002. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.